wonder if you've ever heard of the expression, or the game rather, Chinese whispers. Chinese whispers. How in a group of people, someone starts off by saying a particular thing, whatever it is, whispers it in the ear of another, and then they pass on by doing exactly the same, whispering it in the ear until you get to the end of the line, however many people there are. And then you see at the end, the one at the end of the line, what they say, and the one at the beginning of the line, what they say. It's amazing that in that game, 9 times out of 10, not all of the information that was passed on in the beginning is the same. It gets changed. It gets misheard. It gets forgotten. I wonder if you've ever wondered why the New Testament scriptures were given, why the scriptures in themselves were given. It is so we have the record. It is so that we have the record. All scripture is God breathed. It is given by inspiration of God. It's that we may be furnished unto every good work. The greatest of memories, you know, does not contain information as it should. And those of us who don't have the greatest of memories notice even greater. We need something to keep us in the right track. We need to know where we stand on many things in life, and especially in the spiritual life. We need to know what is the truth. That is why this word was given. That is why this word cannot be changed. It cannot be altered. Because it is the eternal word of God. But down the centuries, even from just a few years after the crucifixion and resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, vital truths of the gospel, vital truths of God himself have been altered, have been changed, have been misheard, have been misinterpreted, so that we have many, many teachings about this Lord Jesus. There is not one teaching of the Lord Jesus in this world. There are many. But only one is this Lord Jesus. There is only one faith. And we are to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered. Once. And so this is so serious that we must see that whatever else is taught of this Lord Jesus is falsehood. It is of man. You see, most people on this earth, most people, and I say that most definitely, most people on this earth have not got a clue who Jesus Christ really was and is. They just do not have a clue. Most religious people do not have a clue. Most Christian religious people do not have a clue. If you do not believe me, just listen to the radio. Just listen to people's viewpoints about how we should allow homosexuality in the church, because they understand that Jesus accepted it. Falsehood. Falsehood of teaching. And many other teachings in this that go around masquerading as Christian, that we should have women preachers. Oh, but that's not the teaching of Jesus. It's the teaching of the Apostle Paul, where he forbids it. I beg to differ. He says, I have the mind of Christ. There are many teachings of this Jesus, but very few know who this Jesus really is. Yes, there are various opinions about him. Don't rely upon your own opinion. Don't rely upon your own heart to lead you in any way. For the heart is desperately wicked. Desperately wicked. Deceitful. Who can know it? The thoughts and intents of the heart of man are evil continually. Do you find that a hard teaching? If you find that a hard teaching, you know not God. Many who say they respect this Jesus, and others who even claim to know him, but few in reality are given this honour and privilege. What is this honour and privilege? To have this Jesus really revealed to them. Many followed this Jesus when he walked this earth. Crowds and crowds followed Jesus. But as soon as he turned and uttered the truth, they turned around and walked with him no more. They wanted a happy, jolly exhibition of seeing miracles performed. And that is all they wanted. They did not want this man to rule over them. And today we begin to look at a question raised by the Son of Man himself, by the Saviour, the Lord Jesus himself. But he raises this question to his disciples. And this is an interesting statement. And it is interesting that he raises the question to his disciples. But as you will see in a few moments, it's not really a surprise that he raises the question to his disciples. For he could not have raised it to the others. For they would have been completely in the dark as to the question. And more importantly, as to what the true answer was. The Lord Jesus says in Matthew 16:13, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" At the outset, we see the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, he most definitely is 100% fully man. This is not in doubt here, and he's making it clear here. "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" For the Lord Jesus Christ is most definitely Son of Man. The Lord Jesus Christ is definitely fully man. But a strange thing, you would think, from this one who perceived the thoughts of men. We see on numerous occasions, just two examples, Matthew 9:4, Matthew 12:25, the Lord Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew those who reasoned against him. He knew their thoughts. And yet the Lord Jesus asks a question. A question, of course, that he knows the answer to. He's not asking the question to know the answer. In that sense, he's not asking the question to find something out, but he's asking this question by way of a question to establish the faith of his people and to make a distinction between his people and those who do not believe. For Jesus is seeking that his disciples are made aware of those in the world around them. And as we shall see, the true distinction between what most people think of Jesus and the true ones born again of the Spirit of God. today I want you to see that you cannot come to know in reality who this Jesus really is unless God make him known to you. This is so true from what the Redeemer said in John 6. No one No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. No one. And so that means all that there is to know of this Jesus cannot be revealed. It cannot be revealed by a mother or father to their child. It cannot be revealed by any preacher. Only God Almighty can reveal such things. Only God Almighty. And so firstly, we see this question that the Lord Jesus addresses to his disciples and how they answer it. And so firstly, let's see that the people around, those who were not the true disciples of Jesus, they thought much of this Jesus. Many of them thought much of him. Many even held him in high regard. They thought much of him, but they thought he was nothing more than a prophet. Some thinking John the Baptist was risen again. For John the Baptist had been martyred at this time. While others that he was the prophet Jeremiah. Or some other prophet. But that's what the disciples say here. What do they say here? But who do you say that I am? Oh, sorry, beg your pardon. Who do men say that I am? Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Or just one of the prophets. Do you know this Jesus? Do you know him as he really is? Or do you know a Jesus that has been taught of man? You see, these people thought he was just a prophet. A good prophet, a good man of God, good teacher, rabbi. And there is nothing new today. Nothing new today. Many who even claim to be of the Christian religion would even say, I've even heard it said by someone who's of the Orthodox persuasion. The Eastern Orthodox persuasion. We accept Jesus. He is but an apostle. He's but a prophet. You see, just because you put a label on something, it doesn't mean it is true. Just because you call it Christian doesn't mean that it is. Look below the surface and see. Those in Parliament in this country certainly, on the whole, do not accept this Lord Jesus. He's the head of the church, the Lord Jesus. But what do they say? The only thing you hear about head of the church is some false man with a dress in Rome is referred to as a holy father by David Cameron the other week. The Holy See. How dare they? But it's not a surprise, for they are just the people who cannot see who he is. They don't know who Jesus is. Do you know? Well, you can't know who Jesus is unless you know Jesus. whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? This is a very, very prickly subject today. Very prickly subject. Many in other religions would say, well, we hold Jesus in high regard. Islam says, oh, he's a wonderful prophet. He's the second greatest other than Muhammad. And we respect him. And they give him a name, Isa, which is not the same name. Don't be fooled. Isa is not the same name as Yeshua. Isa is not God saves. It's a false name. Hinduism says, we respect this Jesus, he is a god. They would even say he's a god, he's a deity. But he is but one of many thousands. Many accept this prophet. He truly is the prophet. He is the last prophet. He is the last prophet. He is the prophet of prophets. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. 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 But nonetheless, most people only see him as but a decent man, a good man, a good teacher, a man whose morals we can follow. Or even, dare they say, a prophet. You see, there's a difference. And when Jesus addresses this question to his disciples, he wants to show that most people only saw before them those who had this Lord Jesus standing in their midst. Most of them only saw a man. And so if he be but a man, they can choose whether to have this man rule over them or not. If he be but a man. And that's what they said, is it not? We will not have this man rule over us. And that is what you say if you do not bow to this one totally. You're saying you have the rule. And also, they can decide which teaching of Christ they want. And you know, there were many who followed and wanted many of those teachings. They sounded good. No one spoke like this man. But when it came to it, they did not want all the teaching of Christ. If you don't want all the teaching of Christ, you haven't got Christ. The multitude, Matthew 14:5 tells us, the multitude counted Jesus as a prophet. Some thought Jesus to be specifically to be the prophet Jeremiah raised from the dead, because they had concluded over many hundreds of years in the Jewish tradition, they had concluded traditionally that he, Jeremiah, was the prophet promised like unto Moses in Deuteronomy 18, on account of God saying in that prophecy through Moses, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. You know, that is almost the very words that were said to Jeremiah when he says, I am but a child, how shall I speak? So you can see that because they misunderstood, misinterpreted this prophecy in relation to Jeremiah, They saw, well, here it was fulfilled in Jeremiah. For God promised to Jeremiah he would put his words into his mouth, and he did. And this attitude of not accepting Jesus as any more than a good man and prophet prevails today. And it prevails today not just outside of the Christian church, the professed Christian church, but most definitely within. May not say it in so many words, but by actions and by lack of action and by lack of belief on all the teaching of Christ, this is such. But we must make up our minds, we must be clear, who is this Jesus? Who is he? For if he is a prophet, and if he has a teaching that can be put alongside other teachings of other religions, of other books, of even other books of Christian religion, he is not worth following. But he's no greater than any other man. We must make up our mind where we stand. Others even dared to declare Jesus was indeed that one promised through Moses, which indeed he is. They even got as far as accepting that he is the Messiah, Christ, one and the same word. That he is Christ, that he is Messiah. Luke 7:16. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. What they really meant was that the prophet has risen up. That the prophet is risen up among us. That's what they were saying. The prophet promised has risen up among us. And many people thought him to be the Messiah. And indeed that was the first word said, was it not, to Andrew, to his brother Simon. We have found him. Could he be the Messiah? Could he be the Messiah? Others came seeking a Messiah who was going to release them from the yoke of Rome and was going to be set up as an earthly king. Others today, even now in the Christian church, seek to set up Jesus as an earthly king. This is a false gospel. Just accepting Jesus as Messiah is not enough. Not enough. For all the names and all the titles of high regard placed upon Jesus from the people, as he calls them, they just could not see who he was truly. And you too, even if you say you believe even that Jesus is the Saviour, and you somehow decided to come to him, you're no different from those who did not quite come to know who he really is. For as Jesus warned, many false Christs shall rise up. Many false Christs. You see, a Christ who you come to, who you call upon, who you decide comes when you want him to, is a false Christ. Is this Christ yours? For secondly, we note the extreme contrast that the Saviour, the Lord Jesus, draws out from his disciples. He's drawing out the truth from them that he knows and that he is teaching them. And he's reaffirming to them. He draws out from his disciples this contrast, which shows how you come to know this Saviour. What is the way you know? What is the way you know you have eternal life and are most definitely a child of God? You should all know this. You should have, if you be a child of God, you should have this etched upon your memory. But as many as received him, gave him the right to become children of God. We're not born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. These are the children of God. God made an intervention. God came. You didn't come. God came and drew you. The Apostle John at the close of his gospel says, the very reason why he's written his gospel, the very reason why God the Spirit has given him these words: "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." John 10:31. The Saviour asks of his disciples a confession of their faith, but not a confession of faith, the confession of their faith. He said unto them, "But whom say you that I am? Whom say you that I am?" Never mind them now. "Whom say you that I am?" I know the people do not know me. I know the people have not got a clue who I really am. "But whom say you that I am? Am I just a good man? Do you merely accept me as a prophet? What do you say? What separates the true believer from the one that knows not Jesus?" There are many types of believers, but only one knows Jesus. Hear the response from one of the disciples of Christ. What does he say? Verse 16. "And Simon Peter answered and said," it's a shame he's going to miss this very point. "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is essential. This is the bedrock of the church. Take away this, there is no church. Take away this, there is no eternal life. Notice Simon Peter does not just declare, "I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God," of which he did. The Apostle Simon, Simon Peter, doesn't just say lovingly, as he would look to the crowds, as he would write in his epistle, he does not just lovingly say, "Well, this is what I believe." But we've all got our belief. The apostle is dogmatic. Oh, there is far too little dogmatism today as regards to who Christ is. He either is or he is not. Yes or no. Anything else is of the evil one. We sit between two stools. We are deceiving ourselves. We're deceiving others. Who is he? I don't just believe. I don't just believe. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. No mistake. No argument. I'm not backing down on this. And this is the only way. This is the only way the gospel is heralded forth in power. When this truth goes forward, the demons shake, for they know. Who art thou, O Son of God? They even said, they trembled, let us go into the swine, let us go down the hill. They know their judgment, they know it is coming. The child of God knows this to be true, doesn't just believe, they know. It's not just a kind of belief that hopes that it is so. And we'll find out when we meet them that day. And we've probably all said it to people who don't believe. Oh, we'll find out who's right. No! I'm right! I know I'm right! Because I've met him! He is the Son of God! Of course, Jesus seeks for an affirmation. But yet the child of God has no problem in making this statement. For the child of God says with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed. When you know someone, you know who they are. You're not in a doubt as to who they are. Perhaps he's not who he says he is. Well, you don't know them then, do you? Who is Jesus? He seeks an affirmation, a declaration, a statement to be made. But whom say you that I am? What side of the fence are you on? Decide this day whom you shall serve. Joshua, me as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Who am I? And the affirmation comes loud and clear. No ambiguity with this preacher, Simon Peter, and there would never be. When he would go on in the short time he had to preach this gospel. No ambiguity. No doubt left as to what he believed. And not only that, what he said was true. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. No doubt, no argument, no question. End of story. Tough. Upsets anyone? Tough. Offends anyone? Tough. For you're Almighty God. No doubt. But people won't believe? Of course they won't believe. You do not believe because you are not of my sheep, he says. It's not dependent upon what we believe or what we think we believe or how we address things to people or how we put it to people. Do they know him? As God's word says, there is no doubt on this. There is no doubt on this. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is fully man, he is fully God. He is without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace and truth. But no one can be brought to believe truly, to know truly who Jesus is, unless there be a drastic intervention from above. unless Almighty God Himself do something. For there is none who seeks after God, there is none who believes, not unto life. There is belief of a sort, but there is not belief on the Holy One. What does Hebrews 11 tell us? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Evidence is proof. We think faith is us grasping around in the dark and hoping something exists. No, it is not. True and living faith has been imparted to the one who knows this truth. It's an evidence. And Simon Peter had the evidence of who Christ was. And he is told this in no uncertain terms. You did not do this. You did not decide you believed this. The Saviour, in his answer to Simon, teaches us the difference between mere believers on him and those who are born again. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You must believe on the Son of God for salvation, in all that He is. Otherwise, you believe on nothing more than a prophet. You cannot believe on the Son of God unless you have real faith. Not just belief, real faith. Which, as we've just said, is called the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the evidence is brought to you first. Faith is a work of God in you. How can you have faith to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Only if God revealed Christ in you. For it is by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God. Faith, the gift of God. Who has believed our report? What does Isaiah say at the very beginning? Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Not sought after, not decided after, revealed. These others, the people as they were called, could not declare thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, because it had not been shown to them. We should look again at this statement that follows on, that the Saviour makes. Upon this rock I will build my church. For there is much to be said on that. Much to be said on that. But please see today, anyone calling themselves Christian or any denomination that deny anything of the deity of Christ, including His sovereignty, His rule over all things, that all things come to pass as He has willed and they will not fail, or suggest that His blood shed on the cross was for those who will never believe on Him, are saying He is not Almighty. And they are denying the prophecy of Isaiah anyway. And if he be not almighty, they show themselves to not know God, because they are in that saying that he is not the Son of the living God. He is not God. Such cannot be his children. They are just as he said, people. Good people, religious people, irreligious people, not so good people, horrible people, whatever people they may be, they are all the same. They are not the children of God. If he shall not have this rule completely and utterly, everything he has said, everything he has taught, there is no rule at all. So what think you of Christ this morning? What think you of Christ? If you have been brought to know him by the power of God, thank him. Why thank him so much? Because it has been given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. It's been hidden from others. They hear in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not perceive, says Jesus. You can't teach parables to goats. They will never know. The parables go to show who the people of God really are. Listen, he who has seen me has seen the Father, says Jesus. And so if you pray to Jesus only, and I'm going to say it again, because I'm saying it on the authority of Jesus, the Son of God, he commands, when you pray, pray on this wise, our Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And constrains us to cry, Abba, Father. We pray just Jesus. Which Jesus? There are many Jesuses, just as there were in his day. There is only one Father. Only one Father. If you pray just and only by the name Jesus, and do not address your prayer to God the Father, Jesus is just a prophet to you. Because this Jesus came to bring us to the Father. That's what he said. That's what he constantly taught. I know it doesn't say it behind there, but you know the words very clearly. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yes, you must come through this Redeemer. You must come through this one mediator between God and man. But we are to come to the Father through him. I came to do the works of my Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But the word way tells us, hey, he's leading us somewhere, isn't he? To the Father. You must confess Jesus to be the Son of God, as well as receive him outwardly, inwardly. You must confess him openly as the Son of God. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You must call upon this Lord. Not just say, I believe. Have you called upon this Lord? I pray that this morning that God Almighty has revealed this truth to you. and has drawn you to this Saviour, then believe on the Son of God and live. How do you say now that Jesus is? Again, and now sing 203. This hymn tells us quite clearly who this Lord Jesus is. Thou art the everlasting Word, the Father's only Son, God manifestly seen and heard, and heaven's beloved one. Worthy, O Lamb of God, art thou, that every knee to thee should bow, that every knee to thee should bow. In thee most perfectly expressed, the Father's glories shine, of the full deity possessed, eternally divine. True image of the infinite, whose essence is concealed, brightness of uncreated light, the heart of God revealed. But the mysteries of thy name and angels grasp transcend the Father only glorious claim the Son can comprehend. Throughout the universe of bliss, the centre thou and Son, the eternal theme of praise is this to heaven's beloved one.